So, I'm just going to move into my presentation here. So a little bit about Spansion. We're a microelectronics or computer chip company. We're pretty globally oriented. Our main headquarters is in Sunnyvale, California. We have a manufacturing facility here in Austin, Texas, and also manufacturing over in Aizu Wakamatsu, Japan. So we're pretty global. We're spread across the world. A lot of other facilities as well. The major product that we make is in consumer electronics like mobile phones and palm tops. We also do a lot of automotive industry type products as well as your networking and wireless type stuff. Just kind of a little bit of a history. And we came to Austin originally as AMD. And when we started here, it was probably in the 80s with the big semiconductor push in town. We're making what they call microprocessors, is which the main brain that runs your PC and laptop. A few years ago, we spun off. We're a different company called Spansion as far as a manufacturing facility here. And we make flash memory, which is different than in your PC. It's actually these kind of products. So that comes into play here a little bit later in the presentation. So as far as our company, we have a high standard as far as where we hold environmental health and safety as one of our main goals in our vision and mission in the company. So we hold that very highly. We know that we have to protect the environment. We put a lot of focus in there. We do a lot as far as energy and water conservation. So one of the things that we've done that's been significant is we are pretty heavily participated into the Austin Energy Green Energy Program. Since it started 10 years ago, it was actually AMD at the time, but we've purchased about 12 gigawatt hours of energy from that program. And just in this last year alone, we've consumed or purchased about 22 gigawatts from green energy just in this facility alone. So as far as some other energy savings, not just water, Fab 25 consumes about 11,000 megawatt hours since 2005 through reduced energy conservation. So some of those projects going through, this is equivalent to about 1.2 megawatts on average. So we've been able to reduce our load by about 4%. We've invested a lot of money in this, about almost $1 million in capital investment to reduce our energy consumption. Some of those projects that we've done, 2005 alone, we reduced 2,000 megawatt hours. Some of those projects that we've done, we did a lot in 2005 with efficient high bay lighting in all of our industrial areas. You can see some of the numbers here. We've also done several VFDs, or variable frequency drives. What these do, when you have a pump and a motor running, instead of having that thing running full out and then having a valve to adjust your throttling, your flow, it actually slows the motor down, which uses less power as well as running it more efficiently. So we've done a lot of those. In 2006, we did a lot of other projects. Some were expanding our fab. We put in a lot of high efficient facility system, which saved energy. We had some motor generators we put in for our process cooler, similar to the VFDs. It uses less power instead of just cranking your pumps and motors at their maximum capacity. More fab expansion projects, which we put efficient products in. And we did a lot with boilers, putting a low flame firing system in to further reduce the amount of natural gas we use. And then some cooling water motor generator changes as well. Last year we did a lot more with VFDs, more pumps that we went, just again to look for the places where the pumps weren't being efficiently used. Again, Austin Energy has a program where they give you a rebate for all these VFDs that we install. They come out and do an audit, look at your before and after energy consumption. And actually, it's very a good program. Most of the time, their rebate ends up paying for the VFD. We end up paying for the installation and some of the design, but it's a pretty good program. So some software that we put in to further efficient running of our chillers. And again, more VFDs and motor generators. So you can see there's a lot of systems that we put in play as far as electrical energy. Some other things that we do is we encourage our employees to participate in going out in the community and doing things like recycling computers and PCs from the home that are outdated and such. So we organize an event every year that allows people in our community to come out and help to do that and direct them for that and provide a place to do it. We also have a lot of large tools that come in and equipment and large crates and things. The employees are allowed to take the wood. They take them home, make things like picnic tables or, you know, a lot of guys make hunting blinds out of them, which I thought was a pretty good idea. We have a lot of scrap recycling. Our solid waste, because we do things like segregate our stainless steel and aluminum and things like that, we actually have a solid waste recovery goal, which we met. We have recycled over a million pounds of solid waste in 2000 alone, 2007 rather, which is a 53% recycle rate of our solid waste. We also have a program for commute solutions, so we encourage van pools, carpools, telecommuting, biking to work, riding the bus, things like that, to help reduce the CO2 emissions in the air. So waste management projects, we have used motor oil program. We use a lot of motor oil in our fleets of trucks and forklifts and such, so we actually recycle all of our used motor oil. Sulfuric acid is one of the chemicals that we use a major amount of in our process. We used to actually just have that go down our industrial waste and neutralize it. Now, 100% of that sulfuric acid is captured in tanks and then recycled and used in other industries. So now, instead of a waste, it's actually a product that we sell. Same goes for IPA or isopropanol. We collect that in a separate drain system, put a lot of money into our infrastructure to do that so we can collect it and actually sell it instead of shipping it off as a hazardous waste. Same goes for our particular product that we make uses a copper plating process, and we collect the copper sulfate from that process, and again, we can sell it instead of disposing of it or treating it. So all this kind of has a theme, whereas what our whole philosophy has been is really to try to segregate our waste streams, whether it's a solid waste like stainless steel pipe or cardboard or wood or whatever. We do the same thing when it comes to the process waste coming from our manufacturing process. So we have our copper waste that we talked about, our sulfuric waste drain. We have solvents, which is separate from our isopropanol. We have hydrofluoric acid. There's actually two of those. There's a slurry, which is used for polishing the wafers when they do the processing. And then there's what's left over is our process drain, and we'll talk about this, our reclaim drain. So a lot of the success to what we have done is by having these multiple drain systems in there so that what you have left over is something very clean and manageable instead of trying to treat all of these in one big pipe. So that's kind of the picture I want you to get here at this point. So hazardous waste we end up shipping off instead of having to treat within one big storage tank or waste system. And then the hydrofluoric acid, we actually created these two drains because one is concentrate, one's dilute. So the concentrate, we have a smaller amount with high concentration, which is less handling and easier to manage. And then finally, our reclaim drain is where we end up taking that water back from the process and using it again in the front of the system. So specifically on water reclaim project, as I said before, since AMD has started here in Austin, we really started to move into a conservation mode in about the year 2000. Since that time, we've been able to conserve 1.5 million gallons per day of water, or a 60% reduction in our water usage. We've done that with, when coming to AMD at the time, or Spansion now, one of the first things I saw was a lot of water going down the drain that could have been recycled. And one of the first places I saw was we used reverse osmosis. A lot of you are probably familiar with what that means. Real good way to remove contaminants from water, but it does create a what they call a reject or concentrate stream that goes down the drain. This particular system had 500 gallons per minute going down the drain, that we just put another RO on that particular stream and recovered, it was 750 gallons a minute going down the drain. We recovered 500 gallons a minute of that stream. Process wastewater reclaim. This is kind of the big hitter that we're going to show you a little bit of detail on. And we're the first ones in the United States to actually take water from our process where they make the wafers off the drains of this equipment and actually run it to the front end of the system and run it back to the tools that are going to make the wafers again. So no one else in our industry does that. They'll use water from the process in cooling towers or in scrubbers or other uses, but they don't want to take the risk of actually putting it back on the wafer. So this is a milestone for Spansion in Fab 25 here in Austin. So that was a project that we did in 2003. 2005, we expanded that system and made it more friendly to our fab. I'll kind of tell you some details of that. And then we expanded the system again. And then this year, we're actually going to take that other remaining process stream that we're not using, and it's going to the city discharge, and we're going to actually one step further and use that for our non-process things like cooling towers and scrubbers and such. So the process water reclaim, these tools that make these semiconductor chips look, this is a very typical tool. We put in this system called active segregation. So one of the things that we went into the very beginning, like I said, was to segregate our drains so we could do this. And to even further benefit that, when this reclaimed drain was finally used, there was still some chemistry that was getting into that drain, and you're getting a lot of water contaminated by a little bit of chemical. So what we found that we could do is actually take and put what we call a conductivity sensor on the drain of every tool, and that would allow us to take multiple tools, where we took 43 tools, and actually take and divert the chemical when it comes down the drain to the process drain, and that allowed us to reclaim just the clean water that was only rinsing the wafer. And by the way, in semiconductor, we treat the water to the point that the contaminant level is in the parts per trillion. So it's very clean, and it takes a lot of equipment to do that. So we're wasting a lot of good clean water that we found that we could use over and over again. So it involves a fully integrated plant control system. So all this stuff can be monitored and checked. And one of the biggest benefits we have is not only are we saving water, but when we see a problem on these conductivity sensors in the facilities area, we can call the fab people and say, your process tool looks like it's having a problem because it's not behaving on the drain side like it normally should. And they've been able to go back and check their tool and actually improve the yields or reduce the defects on the production side by having that information. So it's had some multiple benefits. So we have 100% data acquisition. We have real-time operator interface, and this thing just started doing its deal again. Okay, I'll back up here a little bit. Okay, so here's a picture of what it looks like. It's a very simple system. Actually, I'm going to back up to the schematic. It really went back on me. All right, here's a schematic of what it looks like. So these process tools have a lot of chemicals that go into them. normally what was happening was all these things were mixing in one drain and coming down. Even though there's a considerable amount of water compared to chemical, it just took a little bit of chemical to make a lot of water be contaminated or unusable. So we installed this other drain, which has a sensor in it, which is monitored in our main control system. It controls a valve here that when the water is clean, it opens the valve, goes to reclaim. When if it's not clean, it closes the valve, and there's a real passive bypass system here, which backs up through a trap and into the process drain over here. So that way it's very simple. There's not a lot of moving parts. And if something fails, it doesn't clog up the tool. It just goes through this trap over here and defaults to process drain. So it was designed in-house. I actually have a patent on this, and it's been very effective. So this is a picture of it. So you can see it's very compact. It's about a 2 foot by 2 foot square of piping that it fits in. It's very simple. There's a bypass up here so that you can actually go in and calibrate the conductivity cell here without taking the tool offline so you never lose production. That's the probe right there. There's the controller that the tech can have a local display when they're calibrating and troubleshooting. There's the two-way valve, and there's the trap and the reclaim and the process drains. And it's all just made out of CPVC piping, which is really cheap. There's also this one controller runs two systems, which are side by side here, so that way we can share the electronics for two systems. So it's pretty effective and pretty cheap. We can see every single tool from our central control room. So these are all the tools that have this mechanism installed. It tells you the tool number, where it's located in the plant, and whether the valve is open to reclaim or closed to process drain. So if something's going wrong, they can click this screen. They can know where it's located to run up there and correct any issues. And when they click that screen, that's the tool view of it. And it shows you the current water conditions, the set point, and also if the valve's open or closed. So there's a lot of information there. So why did we do it this way instead of an end of pipe, treat the whole thing? Well, we select only the best water from the process tool based on conductivity, as I said. It gives us real-time data on everything entering our system. We can isolate bad sources quickly with a manual override so that it's quick to fix a problem if one comes up. And we can do that remotely from a control room, too. Removes errant discharge to the reclaim system. Some of the other fabs out there are actually using the tool recipe to tell the drains when to get water and when to get chemical. But if they go up there and change their recipe or do some maintenance mode thing, they can just be dumping chemical on us and we wouldn't know it. So this way we control it instead of them. It's a simplified design. It's helpful to process tool owners. Like I said, we've been able to find defect problems on our side, helping them. And it substantially reduces our treatment system capital costs because it's a simple treatment once we get the water to us because it's very clean. So this is what the actual screen for the control system looks like for the treatment system. It's real simple. It's just a tank, some pumps, some filters, ultraviolet sterilizers, activated carbon beds, some more cartridge filters, and then it goes through this ultrafilter system and then to a final quality tank. From here, we can either ship it to cooling towers or back to our front end of our ultra-pure water system that feeds the process. So as you can see, we got a lot of instrumentation on here. We can see what's going on with a lot of different analyzers that we're looking at. So we can divert it when there's a problem. There's no risk to our manufacturing because of all this extensive information and controls. So we really put a lot of money into our analytical side of it and control side of it rather than saying, let's just take a bunch of water and put a bunch of high-tech complicated equipment to treat it. So the risk was much better from our manufacturing people's standpoint. So this is, again, doing its thing. Okay, let me back up again here. So this is kind of showing... Yeah, I think it's, yeah. All right, bear with me here. All right, sorry for the repeat. Okay, step right there. So this is the original construction. I came to AMD about 12 years ago, and at that time, we were using about 1,900 gallons a minute of city water and discharging about 1,700. So 200 gallons per minute went to the cooling towers and is evaporated. So the first place I saw was a big opportunity was this 700 gallons a minute going right down the drain from our ROs. So we put in a reclaim RO, which reduced our incoming to 1,400 gallons a minute and our waste discharge to 1,200 gallons a minute. So for me, I was coming from a water treatment background and going into a semiconductor background or industry. There was more fear of affecting the process, where I was coming from, well, let's use some smart water treatment to reduce the fear. And so that's how I think we got a lot of success. Because when you talk about semiconductor, you know, in our plant, we're making chips that have wire sizes of 65 nanometers, which if you can't appreciate how big that is, but that's like a meter with nine zeros in front of it, the decimal point, so it's pretty small. So it doesn't take much to spoil a chip. So the next thing we did is we put in a reclaim system. This is where we said, okay, let's go out on a limb and take some of this wastewater from the factory and put it in the treatment system. Well, the first thing we did is say, let's just feed cooling towers and test it out and prove that it works and get all the bugs out of it, which we did. We did that for about a year. And then we took a lot of data to our manufacturing people because it takes that because they're a bunch of engineering geeks like me. And so that reduced our water from 1,900 down to 1,200 and our wastewater to 1,000. And it was very effective. Okay, so the next big thing we did, this is a big deal because we actually said, all right, now let's take some of that water and feed it to the front end of the system. So we did that. We took about 200 gallons a minute. We fed it up here. Now we got wastewater going to the fab. First time ever done in the United States. It's done in Europe and Asia, but not here. So we had to put this extra piece of equipment on there because after testing at the cooling tower, we found that we needed that. So that worked out very well also. So that reduced our water intake to 1,000 from 1,900 and our wastewater effluent to 800. Now, one thing you got to keep in mind here, back, I said before, we started out on microprocessors, now we're on flash. When we were at the 1,900 gallons a minute, we're making 5,000 wafers per week out of this factory. We're now doing 10,000 wafers a week. The other thing you got to keep in mind, we're doing microprocessors, there was 50 chips per wafer. Now we're doing flash, there's 1,000 chips per wafer. So if you look at the how much output we're doing, we're like two orders of magnitude more using half as much water. So in other words, the way you could think of that is we would have had to build like four more factories in order to make the same output, but yes, we're using half as much water. So if you look at it on a manufacturing index standpoint, the industry is going way down in their water usage. So it's all in how you look at it, really. So the next phase here is we're putting on another system, which we're going to take this remaining kind of wastewater that's still going to the city. We're going to put this other technology on it and just feed the cooling towers with their 200 gallons a minute of usage, which will free up the entire 400 gallons a minute to the front end of the system. So now we've reduced our water usage by 600 or more, actually, 1,100 gallons a minute. So we've gone from 1,900 down to 800 and 600. So if you look at it on a graphical representation. Here's our original consumption and discharge, and here's where we are after this year's project is done. And again, 5,000 wafers a week, 10,000 wafers a week, 50 chips per wafer, 1,000 chips per wafer. So it's a dramatic improvement. So looking at it a different way, here's how much we've conserved or reclaimed on as far as a gallons per day. We weren't doing anything in 99. We've gradually gone up. This year's project is going to get us to conserving about 1.8 million gallons per day. which is saving us about $14,000 per day in water and wastewater costs. So, quick thing on quality, as compared to city water, here's our reclaimed water in the bottom. Here's the city water. So it's much cleaner than city water. So we've been able to do things like, when we use it in cooling towers, our cycles have gone from 4 cycles on our cooling towers to 20 cycles. We reduced our chemical consumption because of that. Our used to cost us $200,000 a year in chemistry for our water treatment on cooling towers. Now it costs us $20,000. So there's, again, compounding benefits that we've seen from this kind of thing. So it's kind of in closing here, one of the things that we've done as far as an industry and locally, we have a lot of consortiums and industry groups that get together and benchmark and compare these kind of presentations and share ideas to try to get better as an industry. We've done that also here in Austin. We call it the Greater Austin Water Forum, or GAWF. This organization is made up of 8 major businesses: 3M, Applied Materials, Freescale, Hospira, Samsung, Semitech Expansion, and UT. What we do is we get together and we meet and talk about benchmarking. But the main thing I want to point out here is that these companies make up more than 14,000 employ 14,000 Austin citizens. So the well-being of these companies affects a lot more than just the executive that work, you know, that run the companies. There's a lot of citizens that need to benefit from how these companies are doing and what costs are associated with doing business in Austin. So, in addition to our business affecting companies, there's a lot of contracting jobs and supporting companies. So it's not just those citizens, it's also other companies that work with these companies. So what are we trying to do as a group? We're trying to benchmark, get together, promote innovative, cost-effective water management, conservation, recycle, reuse is our major goal that we went together to promote. We're looking at best practices, and the other thing that our major thing that we've been doing is really communicating and working with the Austin Water Utility to understand short-term and long-term planning. So what are they going to do as far as water costs, how they manage it with the LCRA, that kind of thing. So the industrial customer class in the city of Austin has invested millions of dollars in numerous projects. Expansion has a lot of good examples of that. These projects has contributed to a major and very highly promoted goal that the city council in Austin has, which is broken up into what's called the City Council Water Conservation Task Force. And that task force was put together to mainly trying to conserve water to avoid building another water treatment plant. Because one of the biggest costs to water in the city is the debt service. And debt service is all directly related to capital investment. So the biggest contributor to future water rates increases are going to be building more plants. So the city's come out and said the best way to avoid this is to conserve water. And the goal that this task force came up with is to have a 1% per year reduction in water uses over the next 10 years. Well, the industrial class itself has reduced water consumption since 2000 by 2.4 million gallons per day, which is 26% reduction of our customer class usage, but also equates to 1% of the task force, 10%. So we've already contributed to 10% of their goal with one customer class. So we believe these are significant accomplishments, and they're going to benefit the Austin water community. Further efforts that we're trying to go is to assist the Conservation Water Task Force with more of these goals by taking more of these ideas you've seen today and move it to other companies and help them to get the same kind of results. So one thing I wanted to say was part of what we're doing in this GWAF team is participating with the city in a cost of service study, which is going on right now. And the cost of service study is looking at the different customer classes and what the water rates are going to be after the cost of service study is done. And what we found is that in looking at all the data, when you're looking at different customer classes, the biggest water usage area, which we've heard here today many times, is the irrigation. And part of the things that we're suggesting to this conservation or this water cost of service group is to look at, by targeting the irrigation water usage, you're going to have the better, as Bill said, the biggest bang for the buck. Kind of like the way we did expansion, we targeted water reclaim on the cleanest water. Let's go for that low-lying fruit. And the way that we've suggested to do that is look at inventing or creating a new customer class for irrigation only and charge that irrigation use at a higher than cost of service rate. And what that will enable you to do is two things. One, you can, of course, you're going to promote the people to not use irrigation water because it costs more. Secondly, the revenues that you gain from charging those higher rates, you can go back and invest in water conservation programs, which the main beneficial one would be to invest in the gray water or water recycle infrastructure, which then would get irrigation sources to everybody in town. And now you put less load on your water distribution, and now that would even further reduce the need for a new water treatment plant, which reduced everybody's costs. So it would kind of come full circle. So that's really where we've been working towards, from going to internalizing to going to groups that work together in the industry, now to working with the water utility and city council to help the community. So thank you very much. Any questions?